Welcome to Tales from the Crypt Season 3, Bigger, Badder, and Stickier. By joining us today, you have been officially upgraded to Crit Cat status. So welcome to the club. Tales from the Crit is an actual play podcast where we focus on smaller story arcs from some of your favorite RPGs, as well as some of the less known or obscure ones. We also play some highly narrative tabletop board games and also some micro RPGs. All of those feature a revolving cast of players, so you're going to see a lot of variety there. And as always, I am your host and your Crit Keeper, Riley Groves. We're so glad to have you here with us today. Now let's get into the episode. Content warnings can be found in the description. Welcome to Tales from the Crit. I'm super excited to be here. I've got some really, really great friends. I've got a room of friends, actually, because I have a bunch of people here, like I just said. At the table, I have Connor.
Hello, hello.
Renee.
Hi.
And Derek.
Hello.
You guys might remember Renee from last year's murder mystery episode. We're so glad to have you back.
It's been a bit.
What have you done in between then and now?
Nothing.
Awesome. All right. And returning to the couch for like the first time in like three seasons, we have two girls on the couch. We have Rebecca.
Hello.
And Smriti.
Hello.
We're so glad to have everybody here. We're going to play a game called War with the Evil Power Master today. It's a choose your own adventure game. But before we jump into that, we're going to answer a question from our pod deck interview deck. This one's from the WTF deck. And the question is, what's the grossest thing you've ever seen someone do in public? I'll go first because it came to mind immediately. So I was in Antigua last year and we were driving on a tour and we look over and there was just a woman shitting right on the sidewalk, staring right at us. She had the audacity to ask what I was looking at.
That is pretty gross.
Yeah, it was not great.
It seems kind of tame in comparison, but I definitely watched someone take multiple pieces of like dried up gum from the underside of the counter. And I thought they were going to just throw them out. And they were just having a nervous thing, just picking that stuff. But no, they just kept putting it in their mouth.
That is so much grosser than someone shitting on the sidewalk.
Mine also has to do with consumption. Someone eating their boogers and totally enjoying it.
Okay.
Which is like really gross when you see their facial expressions.
I mean, it's gross to begin with, but like to be able to visualize them enjoying it is super fucked up. Derek, go ahead and top us off.
I'm trying to stay out of the realm of that, so I'm going to go with a couple years ago when Renee and I went to a Renaissance thing. We saw somebody get hit in the bridge of the nose and break their nose and have blood coming out.
Oh, jeez.
Gross in a different aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, basically get good whack.
I don't remember this. But I don't remember a lot of things.
I mean, that is true. We've played a lot of board games together, and we were playing Robin Hood this one time. And I went up to Renee at a party. I was like, hey, how do you like Robin Hood? And she goes, what the fuck are you talking about? I don't know. All right, that's all super gross. So let's stop talking about that, and let's start talking about how we're going to beat the evil Power Master. This game...
with sticks.
Maybe. We'll see. This game is by Z-Man Games. You can find more about them at info@zmangames.com. They have a lot of cool games out. They have a lot of these choose-your-own-adventure games. So this is another narrative board game. This is probably our last one we're going to play for a while. In this season anyways, we're going to move back to some RPGs after this, but we've been having a lot of fun with The Last of Us and then Hildegard and now this one. So you guys ready to start?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let me read the instructions. Unfold the game board.
Check. Done.
Okay. Place one tracking cube on the zero space of the EPM meter and the other space. Okay. Derek's got those. All right. Next step, after we just cruise through 1 through 6, we're all going to take a character. So I'm going to pass around the character cards. You guys choose whoever you want. Each character has some special attributes that are going to help us or hinder us, actually, on our roles. This is a cooperative game, so we're all working together.
I wonder if it would make a difference if you picked characters for other people.
You know, I like to give players autonomy on that one. Because when it comes down to it, I don't care who I am at all. And I feel like if I was to choose first and assign things, it would seem unfair. Like I was picking the coolest character for myself every time. And I don't want to be that guy.
That's like I picked his character and he had to pick my character.
Oh, you want everybody to pick each other's character.
Just floating a different idea.
Okay.
Someday.
You know what? New blood bringing in some new ideas. I like it. All right. Let's see who everybody took. Derek, why don't we start with you? Who is your character? Read us a little bit about them. Tell us what their name is and read us their bio.
All right. I am playing Dante. He is a piloting droid, Terra's companion, one very human-like eye, which is kind of freaky, one very human-like eyebrow, which is also kind of freaky. Head pops open often to reveal 12 articulated appendages, which do work busily, then disappear back inside of him as quickly as they appear. His strengths are he's an excellent pilot, sunny attitude, and can imitate voices. He is also an adequate DJ. Weaknesses, poor depth perceptions, gives painful hugs, bad dancer, can't even do the robot, and he beeps at the worst moments.
Awesome. Okay. Sounds fun. Renee.
Hi, I am Commander Chen.
All right. What's up, Commander?
I'm 22. Pretty young, but I have a lot of responsibility. I am from Lakos. Not sure if I'm saying that correctly. I am a unit commander of the Laconian System Rapid Force. I've never been to Earth, but I have represented Lakos in a Laconian System Kickboxing Championship. So it sounds like I am very physical. I'm very quick to be angry. I rush into things, but don't let me near bugs or germs. They really freak me out.
Okay. Strange things. All right. Connor, who are you playing?
So my character's name is Flipto, and I am 30, Martian, and my occupation is a pilot, computer analyst, bon vivant. I'm not sure that I know what that means. My bio is that I'm the colleague and teammate of Chen. Rye, rock a pair of shorts like no one's business, 2 toes on each foot and 3 fingers on each hand. When not reading the collected works of Earth's Oscar Wilde, I'm often found perusing cookbooks from exotic planets. My strengths are highly intelligent and analytical, good with machines and electronics, and the reason I picked this card, cool vest.
All right.
Weaknesses are dispassionate, prone to pontificate, addicted to candy and baked goods. Other things that tipped me towards Flipto.
Addictions to candy is a common theme in Tales from the Crypt games. So. All right, and I'm going to round up the group. I am playing Terra. I am 35 years old. I was born on Earth, but I am now a Laconian congresswoman. I'm a decorated veteran of the Purple Days War. I have much wisdom, much experience, and no nonsense. Always effective, always in control, always there to slap you out of it, whatever it may be. And I'm usually right. My strengths are I'm diplomatic, proactive, calm under pressure, and I have some awesome whoops and hollers. My weaknesses are that I am irritatingly competent, secretly smug, I give overly strong handshakes, and I never have time for this.
Who does?
Who does? So, if you guys can tell, this is a sci-fi game, but it is also very humorous and comedic, so I'm pretty excited. Now, to continue on with the rules. So, your cards, you have an active side and an inactive side. So, pretty much every time we have to do something, you know, after you take your turn, switch to the inactive side, everybody has to go before somebody can go twice.
Everybody goes before someone
gets second. Yes. Perfect. Shuffle the 9 starter item cards and place one face up next to each character card. Derek, you've got those. So, please shuffle some of those out. And go ahead and put the rest right back in the box is fine. Early in the game, we will be directed to go to a planet. When this happens, place the ship mover on that planet and then take the 13 story cards for that planet. And then I will read them. Start the game by taking the 3 Lacunian Congress story cards and pick a player to read the first card. So, Connor, I think all of those are in front of you if you want to hand me one of those cards. Ready to get into it, team?
Yes.
All right. At the Lacunian Congress. The evil Power Master is back, shouts Commander Chen to his green-skinned Martian friend Flipto. And he's still doing his evil thing. Chen hands Flipto a message that just came into Rapid Force Command from a remote sector of the vast Lacunian system. The news is grim. Sudden total destruction of planet Marzina, Sector 314789. Evil Power Master claims responsibility. Have a nice day.
How can I have a nice day after that?
Doesn't sound good.
Flipto crumples the paper message in his three-fingered fist, his usual Martian self-control replaced by anger. Did you expect anything else, Commander? He demands. We both knew he would be back, doing his evil thing. I hoped we had destroyed him in the Purple Days War, Chen says. So many lives lost. So much carnage. So much purple. The Rapid Force officers sit in silence, remembering how the evil Power Master rallied his renegade planets that were denied entrance into the Lacunian system, Alliance, and led them in a rebellion. His powers must be strong again, Chen says, breaking the silence, or he never would have attacked.
You are primary unit commander, says Flipto. What are your orders? Call all unit commanders to meet with the Lacunian Congress, Chen says. We must plan for our defense, and maybe mount an attack. Chen and Flipto lead the other unit commanders into the Lacunian Congress. Countless voices fill the great hall. Speaking hundreds of languages, the dread in their eyes is clear. Every conversation is about the evil Power Master doing a new evil thing. Chen meets with Terra and the congressional spokesperson. Terra is respected for her firmness and wisdom in Congress, and for being a fierce veteran of the Purple Days War. I knew that evil drift wouldn't stay quiet for long, Terra says. Before Chen can reply, the Great Hall is silenced by a booming metallic voice. It is the voice of the evil Power Master. Give up, you fools! Your time has come! Marzina is just a taste of my power. Give me total control of the system, or more planets will perish, including Hegemon, Arauth, and Earth. You have 3 days to comply. The hall erupts in chaos, with representatives from across the Lacunian system all rushing to contact their homeworlds. Rapid Force is on their own now. Terra is smiling, however. Come with me, she says. This may be our break. Chen is confused, but he trusts Terra. She saved his butt more than once during the war, and he'd like to continue to keep his butt intact. Terra takes Chen Flipto to a computer room where her one-eyed, one-eyebrow droid Dante sits in front of a console.
We got him now, Dante cries. The evil Power Master's message led us right to him. Almost. Terra's smile fades. Almost. He bounced the message through 9 planets, says Dante, including a base here in Lakos. He must be on one of those 9. We'll have to explore the planets to find him. Beep. Flipto looks at the readouts.
Oh my.
The signal is too weak to pinpoint his location, he says, grabbing the last Sinistar bagel from the table. Then it will be like looking for evil needle among 9 haystacks, Chen says, his stomach growling. Or a bacterium burrowing among 9 gigantic Sinistar bagels. Flipto shoots Chen a side eye. You're not going to get one bite out of this bagel, he hisses. No time for bagels, snaps Terra. We need to boost that signal. Flipto's forehead wrinkles. If we visit planets where the evil Power Master has been, we can collect more transmission data, he says. I can use the data to design an algorithm to boost the signal. Then we'll find him, says Terra. Flipto and I will head out on the Fizzlet, says Chen. Dante and I are coming too, says Terra.
Damn right.
4 heads are better than 2. And 18 arms are better than 4, says Dante, as he opens his head. And this bagel is gone, says Flipto, polishing off the last bite.
All right, so from here, we're going to determine our starting planet by rolling the die two times. Derek, why don't you go ahead and roll the die?
All right. That's a five.
That's a five, okay.
And a three.
Go for it. All right. So, Connor, the game board is in front of you.
All right.
So if you were to, like, look at the board, like, how it was three quadrants across.
Yep.
All right. We're going to go to the one furthest to the right.
Okay.
And then you're going to go to the one in the middle, if you were to look at it like three quadrants up and down.
So the right middle one. Yep. Yeah. All right. That's the void of Nero.
Oh, cool. That sounds kind of terrifying.
It does.
So we place the ship on the void of Nero.
I chose this purple piece as the only piece over here to be the ship.
I believe that is the ship piece. Ship shape. The shape of the ship.
All right.
From here, I'm going to make an executive decision. Let's see what our starter items are.
Okay, that sounds good.
I have the silicon crystal cube.
And what does that do?
It's a premonition device from the glass planet of Silica, 1,000 times more accurate than a crystal ball from Earth. Discard this card at any time to reveal one face-down single booster dice. Signal booster dice.
Okay. Renee, what you got?
I mean, Commander. I have food.
Okay.
Candy-coated Croner beans.
Yeah, that sounds good.
It's a bag of caffeinated chocolates, so yeah, you probably like these. Discard this card during a challenge to re-roll any dice during that challenge.
Okay.
It's a re-roll card.
Nice.
That's awesome. Flipped.
I have the Void of Nero Shelter Belt.
No shit.
Yep.
All right.
Personal Force Field from the Purple Days War. Discard this card before a challenge to automatically win the challenge without rolling.
Fuck yeah. That will be handy. And I have the Proxima Centauri Pain Reducer. We can mitigate the pain by swallowing the contents of this bottle. Discard this card during a challenge to reduce the challenge level by one. So that's handy. Let's start out on the Void of Nero.
All right.
Do you prefer Flippy or Flipto?
I prefer Flipto.
Okay, my bad.
Well, it looks like a frog from Star Fox. Reports of a strange energy beam lead the crew to the space frigate Menton, patrolling the edge of the Void of Nero. Flipto convinces Commander Chen to use the teletransporter to board the Menton, even though the commander has always hated being dematerialized. Sure enough, when he rematerializes on the Menton, the process proves less than perfect. Chen jiggles his foot a few times until all the pieces of his leg fall into place. The commander of the Menton, Sartan, appears. Need some help with that? She asks. A wry smile on her face. Chen avoids eye contact, while Terra chuckles quietly. We have much to discuss, Sartan says, then strides to a large view screen that reveals the Void of Nero, an immense area of dark energy. She taps a few buttons. The void enlarges to fill the screen, and a planet comes into view. Yesterday, that beam of unknown energy appeared on this planet, she says. But that's... Terra starts, stunned. Yes, says Flipto. It's purple. The planet we saved from the evil Power Master during the Purple Days War. The thought of purple raises old demons. Chen focuses on the task at hand. Where's the beam heading, he asks. Impossible to tell, says Dante. After analyzing Sartan's data, no known planet lives in its path. We need a void ship, says Terra. There, I can help, says Sartan. She leads the crew to a small spacecraft shaped like an arrowhead. A void ship, built to push through dark energy. Chen looks at Flipto and smiles. Perfect, just like the one we flew in the Purple Days War, he says. Flipto raises an eyebrow. I don't recall those days being perfect, he says. A sleek droid is fueling the ship. You can take the droid, says Sartan. It's an excellent void pilot. Dante clatters over to the droid and asks, What is your make and model? I am a Protar 331, it says. I am a pilot? Astrogator, and companion. We'll stick with Dante, Chen says. Sartan says, but Protor is clearly superior to your rudimentary We'll stick with Dante, says Dante, cheerfully interrupting her in a perfect imitation of Chen's voice. Flipto looks at the void ship. Should we follow the beam to its origin, he asks, or to its destination? If you go to the origin of the beam, go to the Void of Nero Starry card 2. If you go to the beam's destination, go to the Void of Nero Dory card 10.
What do we want to do?
Do we need to get ahead of this thing? Let's go.
No, just go and find out where it's going.
Yeah, where you want to go, Commander? You want to go find out where it's headed? Who cares where it's coming from?
We know where it's coming from, down there.
Yeah.
It's pointing to something.
Dante?
I think we should go to the beam's destination.
I also think the beam's destination.
To the destination.
All right, so the destination is card 10. Okay. Dante activates the ship's dark energy shield. Terra and Flipto feel a familiar tingle. I don't miss that, Terra says. I find it most enjoyable, says Flipto as he settles into his seat. The white beam pushes through the miasma of the void. As the ship approaches, the beam fills the screen. It's enormous, Chen shouts. What in the seven moons of Gobo is that? In answer, 12 Delta Wings appear as if they had flown out of a long tunnel. The group breaks into 3 squadrons and attacks a hexagonal space station. No record of that station, says Dante. They need our help, Terra cries. 4 Delta Wings turn towards the void ship. Energy weapons don't function in the void, so Chen and Flipto fire round rockets at the ships from pneumatic tubes. Required challenge. Battle the attack fleet.
Oh, shit. I thought they were going to say 12 ships were coming at us, and I was like, yeah, we're doomed already.
Yeah, that's what I thought was going to happen, too.
Only 4 ships coming
Only at us. Only 4 ships. All right, so how do we take them on? Does it say on that card, or do I need to read more rules?
I think we need to read more rules, because it just says, well, there's like a symbol, and it says required challenge, battle the attack fleet, and it says win, raise the tracker by 2,
mm-hmm.
and draw a card.
Does it have a challenge level?
Looks like piloting.
Oh, okay. So our challenge rating is actually determined on the board. So you'll see it along the green side.
Oh, yeah. Challenge level equals 4.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're at 0, that's...
We're at 0. So that would be a 4 for a challenge level. Okay. So, yes, this is a piloting challenge. So this would be rolling with your piloting skill. We all have different skills on our trackers. They are piloting, diplomacy, dexterity, perception, and strength. I think each of us have a +1 to 2 of those things and a -1 to 2 of those things, and then just completely missing one of them. So, question, who has the best piloting, or who has a bonus in piloting?
I have a +1 to piloting.
I think I also have a +1 to piloting.
All right.
Well, I am not so great at piloting.
Not so great at piloting. I am bad at piloting, actually, so not good. Dante, why don't you take the first roll? See if you can get us that 4.
All right. So it's whatever I roll
plus your one. Piloting skill. All yep. right. A 3 or higher will do it. A 1.
I got a 1.
Does not do it.
Or 2.
Is it too late to go back and get ProTor?
That's not nice.
I got a 5. +1. 6.
Awesome. So you got us past that.
Beep.
All right. So both of you are going to stay inactive now, though. So Renee and I are the only ones that are going to be active.
Okay. So I flip my card over?
Correct. All right, so go ahead and raise the signal tracker by 2. And, Dante, will you draw data card number 13?
Yes, I will. The first salvos hit their marks and tear through 2 enemy ships, which explode into small balls of flame. What's left of the energy contained in the dark energy shields? The other 2 ships take evasive actions. Required challenge, destroy the last 2 enemy ships. And it looks like it's whatever the whirly bit is.
Okay.
The whip.
I have a +1 in the squiggly thing.
The squiggly thing is dexterity. So are we still at a 4 for a challenge rating?
Yes, we are.
All right. Commander Chen, roll the die. Give us a 3 or higher.
Nope.
Oh, man.
1. I got a 1.
Okay.
+1, 2.
I'm going to give that bad boy a shot. And that's a 3. I have a +1 in dexterity, too. So we did, in fact, destroy the last 2 ships.
Does that count as my... Me
yeah, so inactive. That we would all be inactive at this point, so we can go ahead and be back to the active side. Go ahead and raise the signal tracker by 1, and Dante, would you grab data number 14?
The next volley of stone projectiles flies true and tears through the remaining 2 ships just as balls of light begin to form on their forward turrets. As the ships explode, Terra lets out a loud whoop. Flipto shakes his head. The remaining Delta Wings have scattered. An energy beam arcs out of the space station and obliterates all of them with incredible destructive force. Could this be the evil Power Master's base? We are being hailed, says Dante.
Do Do we just go on to the next card, I think, maybe, then?
Sorry, draw data 16.
Oh. Mm. Dante over here not reading the whole card.
He's getting caught off. He's like, why am I talking in the third person?
A voice resonates throughout the cabin. Rapid force ships, this is droid base 1. Do you read? Chen, Terra, and Flipto all recognize the voice and smile at the other. Dante whirs with excitement. Rapid force void ship, do you read? You are cleared to land. Repeat, you are cleared to land. Go to Void of Nero, story card 7.
Inside droid base 1, the crew finds an old friend from the Purple Days War. Rendoxol, Chen yells. We thought you were dead. Just as you thought the evil Power Master was dead, replies Rendoxol. In fact, we both survived the war. But how, Terra asks. Follow it and all will become clear, says Rendoxol. He turns and floats away. Rendoxol, the droid, hero of Lakos, auto-destructed to destroy the evil Power Master on the final days of the war, or so everyone in the system believe. As Rendoxol shows off his droid-operated base, he explains that he teletransported the evil Power Master deep into the void and subdued the evil one before his body reformed. I built this base to be his prison, says Rendoxol. You are my hero, gushes Dante. Flipto ignores the starstruck droid. What happened, he asks. How did the evil Power Master escape? I underestimated his evil and his power, says Rendoxol. Rendoxol comes to a stop by a glass cell. I probed his mind and extracted his secrets, he says, which helped me build this base and its defenses, but the evil one had secrets buried too deep, even for my probes.
How deep are those probes?
Go to Void of Nero, story card 9. Rendoxol stops in front of the shattered cell. Metal debris and glass shards covered the floor. I manipulated the dark energy shield surrounding the base to exclude his cell, explains Rendoxol. I assumed that would prevent him from escaping. Chen deduces the rest. He searched for spaces where the shield was weak and exploited them. Exactly, says Rendoxol, his mechanical voice tinged with regret. It took him years, but his evil is persistent. That evil goon, says Terra, making a fist. Once out, says Rendoxol, he found my void-capable teletransporter and disappeared. What is that in the corner? Dante asks, pointing several arms at a small object barely visible beneath the shards of glass and twisted metal. Operational challenge. Retrieve the object. Win. Draw data number 28. Lose. Raise the EPM.
All right. What do we got to roll?
Dexterity.
Dex is the spirally circly one?
Yeah.
All right. Who's got plus ones? I know I do and Commander Chen. You got one?
Okay.
Chen, roll a 3. No more ones.
4 plus 1.
All right. So draw data 28.
A black marble. This appears to be nothing more than part of a children's game played on Aruth. Oddly, the marble does not reflect light. In fact, it seems to darken the air around it. Maybe it's not a toy after all. Keep this challenge booster. Finish Void of Nero's story card 9. And then it has like an eyeball with a plus 2.
Oh, cool. So you can use that in the future to roll on a plus 2 to a perception challenge.
Oh, okay.
One thing to note about challenge booster cards, if you roll a 1 when you use them, you have to declare you're using it first. If you roll a 1, you have to discard it after that. You have destroyed the object.
Mm-hmm. I'll try to remember that.
I'll try to remind you.
Chen turns to Rendoxol. What happened next? He asks. The evil Power Master returned to purple, he says. That is where the beam originated. We are about to launch a massive counterattack. Would you like to join? Terra whispers to Chen. Such an attack could kill many Purpleians. We should go there and stop him ourselves. If you join Rendoxol, go to Void of Nero card story 4. If you and the crew travel to purple, go to Void of Nero story card 11.
Or what? To just...
We go with Rendoxol to just...
Try to obliterate
blast him? Everybody, or we try and go down to the planet of purple.
I feel like Taro would want to go down herself, as she already declared that in the card. So that's where my vote's going.
Dante would probably also want to go down, being diplomatic and usually a positive.
All right, Commander, flipped, flipper.
I agree because I'd like to have some face-to-face contact. This flight battle was not really my thing.
Okay.
All right, so sounds like we're going to story card 11.
Let's do it. Maybe we'll find the evil Power Master right now. We'll ask him to stop politely.
Although I'm inactive, so I don't know what I'm going to do.
Can you please quit it?
Hey, man, knock it off.
The ship lands on Purple. A sound like thunder echoes in the air outside the ship. Dante spins in a quick circle as creatures run headlong toward the crew from all directions. The crew is soon surrounded by Purpleians, carrying clubs, spears, and axes. Their massive skin barely... Their mauve skin barely visible against the violet sky. Purpleians are short. None stand taller than 4 feet. Their hairless bodies look like they've been chiseled from lavender stone. It's all coming back to me, Terra says. Yes, says a voice the crew remembers. How sad you would fall into my trap so easily a second time.
Yeah, good job, guys.
The mob parts and the evil Power Master steps through. Would you fight the Purpleians again? Says the evil Power Master. Submit, and I may spare your lives and theirs.
I mean, we're not going to do that, right?
It's a fight on the other side. If you decide to fight, go to Void Story 6. If you surrender, go to 8.
Oh, wow.
You got to fight for your right.
Yeah, I mean, it's we got to fight. We came here to fight. What's the picture?
Yeah, what's the challenge?
Oh, there's no challenge. It's just fight or not.
Oh.
Yes, fight or be captured.
Yeah, we definitely fight.
Yeah, I mean, he comes at me like that, I'm fighting him.
All right. Let's fight. Let's fight.
Okay, so that's going to card 6. It's taking me all over the place.
This is a mistake, by the way. I can almost guarantee.
Hey, we can you know, get out of a challenge. We got some rerolls.
Yeah.
We're good. We're not far from the ship, whispers Flipto as Chen and Terra decide whether to fight or submit. They both know if the crew escapes, the Purpleians will be punished. If there's a chance to end this here and now, they must take it. They nod at each other. We know you too well, evil Power Master, Terra says. If we surrender, you'll kill us or make us suffer forever. Chen whips out his blaster and aims at the evil one. This ends now! He screams and pulls the trigger. Nothing happens. Did you forget where you are? Says the evil one with a chuckle. Energy weapons do not work in the void of Nero unless you're inside a dark energy shield, which you are not. With a last laugh, the evil Power Master slips through the throng of Purpleians as they advance on the crew. If any active or inactive character has data 3 or data 36, skip challenge below and draw data 26.
We don't have that probably, huh?
No.
I do not.
Yeah, we only have one of those.
All right, so required challenge. Fight to reach the ship. It's a strength, a dumbbell. I can only imagine that strength. Win, draw 24. Lose, draw 62. So I can auto-win us with my thing here, which says discard this card before a challenge to automatically win the challenge without rolling. Or do you guys want to roll? I don't have any strength.
I do not have any strength.
I only have 3 fingers.
I'm inactive, so I can't fight.
Oh, boy. I don't have any strength either.
All right. So it looks like... Do you guys want to get beaten up?
I mean, you have a negative one to strength.
Why are you trying to roll?
I'm just asking.
Yes, I do have a negative one to...
I have a neutral. I don't even have it on there.
Me either.
I don't think this is the time to fight.
I say we use the card. All right.
Make it so.
So we're going to
We don't need this to be the, like, shortest episode of Tales from the Crypt of all times.
We could always play that fort building game again.
That was the shortest episode. It would have been. All right.
All right, so we're going to discard this and automatically win the challenge. Win, draw, data card number 24.
All right.
The Purpleians may be armed, but they aren't rapid force trained. In a matter of moments, the crew disables the guards, boards the ship, and takes off from Purple. After leaving the void, the crew alerts Sartan about the evil Power Master's base on Purple, but it's too late. He's already gone. The end. Raise the EMP meter by 2, discard the... and choose a new planet to explore.
Okay, so I can put this deck away and we gotta fly somewhere else?
I got nervous when you said the end.
I also was like, that's it, we lost him. And it's done. It's like a shiny Pokemon. You only get one chance.
Oh, so Connor, there's 9 discs.
Yep.
Over there.
Discard the disc?
No, yes, that's what it said. It said, discard the disc. Choose a new planet to explore.
Am I supposed to put one of these on each of the planets?
Yes.
In any particular order?
No, those discs would allow us to increase our signal tracker by that many if we successfully defeated the planet. However, we done lost that planet. How high up is our signal booster? What are our two tracks out.
So our signal booster track is on the third little section, which means we're still in challenge level 4.
Okay, it's good for us.
And our EPM meter is on the second little box.
Okay. So not like a lot of progress made.
Or does this mean that if we go between these planets, we got to add 2 to that?
Correct.
Every time? Well, that's a
sign. Every segment between the planets is another 2 on the EPM meter.
That's a son of a gun.
Yeah, it would have been really helpful if we did actually beat this planet.
Hey, we tried.
The ultimate goal is to get to 25 on the signal booster before it gets to 25 on the EPM meter.
We did what everyone does on their second play, is we went to the big boss man first.
Mm-hmm.
Tried to realize right why we're supposed to play the game first.
All right, y'all, what planet are we headed to? Only Connor knows what any of them are called, so.
So the planets that are near us, one space away from the void of Nero, is Aroth, or Lakos, or Kroner.
Kroner sounds cool.
I think Kroner is the way to go. Lakos will put us like in the very middle of the board, but I feel like if we go to Kroner, that'll be on the outside portion, and then we can swing around the void and not have to go back through it.
How many challenge booster or how many signal boosters would we get from going to Kroner? Sorry, what color disc is on Kroner?
Oh, I'm supposed to have the colors up, not the number?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's a, I don't know, a orange disc.
All right, so we'll get somewhere between 6 and 8 signal boosts, possibly.
Setting course to Kroner?
Yeah, I guess so.
The technicolor swirl of interstellar hyperlight travel is giving way to the void of space when something hits the side of the ship, lurching it portward. All 4 crew members fall to the floor.
Oh.
That wasn't my fault, chirps Dante, as 7 of his appendages shoot out, grasping levers and knobs around Flipto, who's piloting the ship. Flipto slaps Dante's arms off of the steering wheel. I got it, you lowly bucket of bolts, he huffs. Flipto mechanically turns various knobs and flips several levers to get the fizzlet back on the track. Or on track. We're not on a track. Dante slowly reaches an arm out to turn one knob Flipto doesn't see, and the ship rights itself. Dante's single brow drops into a distant glower toward Flipto. Flipto's 2 eyebrows respond with equal glower. Okay,
I think it's glower.
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 Glare. I mean, it's glarings, but they
doth glare.
We must be under attack, says Chen. He leaps forward and flips the alarm switch. Sirens wail and lights bathe the bridge in red. Ready the cannons! Tara stands up, dusting herself off. Commander? Battle stations, barks Chen. Commander! Shouts Tara, firmly placing her hands square on Chen's shoulders to hold him in place. We hit an iceberg. The view screen shows the image of a floating glacier. An agitated worker in an orange spacesuit waves 2 glowing sticks in the universal go around gesture as he bobs weightlessly and looks to a nearby mining vessel. We must be near the ice mining operations on the moon Atlan, says Flipto. I hear the snack bar there are bland and suffer from limited selection. So critical. Chen thinks a perfect place for the evil master to hide, he says. That guy hates snacks. We didn't come here for snack time, says Tara. She points at Kronar, a jade planet encircling the white rings. The Empress's security force in Reyna City is legendary. If anyone has a lead on the evil power master, it'll be them. Rhea, Flipto ponders out loud. Rhea. Yes, if my memory serves, the snack bars there are exquisite. Regardless, the planet is nothing but a sea of hydrogen. One wrong move and we'll be lost for days. There won't be any more days if we don't find the evil one's base, Tara snaps, folding her arms and gazing out at the stars. And Commander, turn off those darn sirens. Okay. If you follow the mining vessel to Atlan, go to Kronar story card 12. If you head to Reyna to find the Empress, go to story card 3. So we're going either to the mining vessel in Atlan or going to Rhea to get the Empress.
I think we should go to Rhea.
I'm thinking Empress.
That's the hydrogen place, right?
It's all the hydrogen
with a place, really good snack bar.
Oh.
Yeah. With a good snack
bar. Yeah. I'm thinking, yeah.
I don't know which one was
the hydrogen. I agree. My guy is mostly a diplomat, so.
So far, every choice we've made seems to be wrong, so we should probably go to the other place.
Okay. Wait, do I get to decide? I don't get to decide.
I mean, we're all deciding. We're working together. Where do you want to
Did you agree?
Go? Yeah. I mean, yeah, we all wanted to go see the Empress.
You vote?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, what did you want to do?
I want to go to Rhea, Empress.
That's the Empress?
So it's unanimous.
Okay.
Yeah, then card we're going to go there. Cool.
Is it card three in this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Cutting through the clouds of Kronar, the ship skims a hydrogen sea, pointed towards Rhea. Suddenly, massive, fast-moving waves roll across the horizon, the crest dotted with thorny aliens on long boards, giant flytrap surfers. "Pull up!" shouts Chen. "Inadvisable. Our escape thrusters will ignite the hydrogen," says Flipto, weaving the ship in a manner that sends everyone and everything flying. It's literally all hands on deck as Dante lets appendages fly to address the chaos, jockeying to take over the steering wheel from Flipto, changing the radio to the Drovian Polka station, and placing a coaster under Terra's drink. Required challenge. We need to avoid the flytrap surfers. Okay, so how do we win?
What's the symbol look like?
The piloting one.
It's a piloting one. So does Dante or Flipto want to roll first?
Cart said roll. He was flying.
All right, and we still only need a four, right?
Yeah, we currently are still on challenge level four.
Terra's drink is a gin and tonic, by the way.
Seven.
All right. So what do we do if we win?
We won. Okay. We won. Data 005.
All right.
Sensor hack. This circuit rerouted through the sensor hack. The autopilot will now randomly select evasive maneuvers during the space battle and offer winning Star Lotto ticket numbers. Keep this challenge boost. Finish Condor Story card 3.
Cool.
So it is a +1 to piloting challenge.
Nice.
The ship weaves among the riders, who salute Dante with the hang loose gesture. Eventually, the sea calms, a gnarly situation avoided, with some truly tubular flying. Tubular. A beep indicates the Fizzlet is nearing Rhea, and they dive beneath the ocean's surface. Rhea, Kronar's capital city, is a shimmering bubble suspended in the sea. As the crew disembarks, a speckled frog-like official approaches. Her name tag reads...
Flippy.
Ribadella. Oh. This is a required challenge. You have to use diplomacy.
I do have a +1 to diplomacy.
It's the handshaking.
Yeah, Dante and I got that for days. Dante, want to go for it?
Sure. Still need a 4?
Yes.
All right. I got a 3.
I'll give this the old college try. I got a 7.
There you go.
Raise signal tracker by 2 and continue below.
All right. Also, are we all inactive at the moment? I know I am.
I think we are now, all right. Finally.
So everybody switch back over again. To an active spot.
Wonderful.
Okay, we raised our signal.
Yes, we did.
All right, continue on back. We must see the Empress at once, says Chen, flashing his badge. Didn't know I had a badge. She blinks, first horizontally, then vertically, and taps her computed tablet in silence for a minute. Dante's eyes narrow. Terra impatiently shouts, "This is a level 1 emergency." Ribatella holds up one long suction-cupped finger and scans the screen. Chen throws his hands up in exasperation. Finally, she looks up. "Sorry. My friend ordered moth wings, but the delivery guy brought fly wings, and she's allergic. Now, what's your problem?" Chen clutches his fists. "Oh, right, the Empress. She's super busy, because she's like the Empress. But you can totally wait. You could also see the security undersecretary right now. His schedule is way clearer. If you wait for an audience with the Empress, we'll go to card 7. If you agree to see the undersecretary, we'll go to card four. We're going to wait or
I mean,
talk to the next person.
I think the undersecretary would be the best one to talk to. Quicker is better.
I agree.
Yeah, we got to go talk to someone now.
Part of me feels like we're going to end up fighting this person, though.
We're here to get this person's help information.
Yeah, we're here to get information. And I imagine the Empress isn't going to have any more information than the undersecretary dude of security. That's who we're actually here for.
Yeah, agreed.
The offices are overrun with hundreds of tadpoles and shrimp. As it takes your spawn to work day. Oh, it's take your spawn to work day.
Oh. That's grody.
Yeah.
In the midst of the chaos, an unattended information tablet blinks. Dante cocks his eyebrow and glances at the crew. Optional challenge to get that tablet. Do we want to get the tablet that's flying?
Yeah, what's the symbol that's on it? I mean, I just want to know.
Dexterity.
All right.
Squirrel, yeah.
I've a minus one in dexterity.
I've got a plus one in dexterity.
I also have a plus one.
Do we want to steal this tablet?
Oh, yeah. Okay. We want that tablet.
All right, Commander.
I got a 3 plus a 1 is a 4.
We're still in challenge level four.
Floor?
Liver floor. Level four.
We're at the floor level.
Okay.
It's as low as it goes.
Raise your signal tracker by 1.
All right.
And draw data 6.
Bonus story choice. The tablet lists recent visitors to Rhea. Between the morning caviar delivery and the afternoon caviar delivery is the unknown associate of the evil power master, a lizard person who met with the undersecretary for planet security. Place a new story choice below at the bottom of Chronos story choice 4. This option may be considered when you are ready to make the story choice. Finish Chronos. So this adds a choice when we get to card 4 and have to...
We are on card 4.
Okay, so that gets added to the bottom when we finish up.
All right.
Ribatella directs the crew into an empty elevator shaft and presses a button. The doors close. A bubble forms around the crew, and liquid hydrogen pours in. In their bubble, they rise up to the security office. The undersecretary has his scaled back to them. Tara clears her throat. And the undersecretary barrels toward the group. Looking for the evil power master is my job. He's clearly got a chip on his shoulder. Or whatever you call the place where his leafy fin meets his leafy body. Tara opens her mouth to respond, but he cuts her off. My agents believe he's in the rings. If he was on this planet, I'd have already caught him. Now out of my face. With a leafy flourish, he turns and stalks back to his desk. Some folks really test a person, Tara mutters. Head to the rings of Kronar, or if you don't trust the undersecretary, you can wait to see the Empress.
I don't quite trust him.
I mean, it says on the tablet that he met with this person. Isn't that what the information that we got?
Yeah, so I say we don't trust him and wait.
I'm fine with waiting to see the Empress.
All right, let's wait for the Empress. I do love her, Jin.
Go to card 7. Dropping onto woven kelp couches outside the throne room, the crew waits and waits and waits. Hours tick by. Dante and Flipto play I Spy, but the solution to every round is kelp. Chen runs out of credits to give Flipto for the vending machine. Tara completes a crossword in a 40-year-old Star People magazine. Finally, the door opens, revealing a lovely and leafy creature. She ripples her fins and speaks. Her benevolence, Empress Anaminos, she who travels the divine current, we'll see you now. An immense throne of living coral dotted the luminescent plankton-dominated room. The Empress floats above the seat as her sinuous, rainbow-colored tail undulates. Gentle currents to you, swimmers of the star sea, she says in a melodious voice. Her eyes turn lovingly toward Chen. I shall aid in your quest to defeat the evil power master, he who muddies pure water. Chen bows. Rapid Force thanks you, Empress. We believe he hides in the kelp forest, the Empress says. Today, a weapon disrupted the current in that area. We suggest you investigate. The elevator opens and the crew returns to their ship. To head to the kelp forest, go to card 8. There's no other choices, though.
To the kelp forest.
To the kelp forest.
To the kelp forest.
The ship plunges into crystal clear sea. Patches of colorful seaweed become a dense jungle of kelp. They dive deeper, fronds rolling across the view screen like an undersea car wash. Through the waving strands, they spy a metallic structure. But before they can pull closer, the ship lurches to a halt. Dante slams a fist against the steering wheel. For the love of Pete, what now? The three bipeds of the crew pull on scuba gear and swim out to go take a look, only to find the ship cocooned in kelp. They begin ripping hunks of it off of the ship. Suddenly, the kelp braids together and ensnares Chen, Terra, and Flipto. They don't have a chance to do anything, not even to say something awesome like, I did not seaweed that coming, before they're under attack by dozens of kelp tentacles. Required challenge, defeat the kelp colony.
What's the symbol on that?
The can't I remember what that
is? Dexterity.
Dexterity.
Yes. Oh, sweet.
If you win, raise signal tracker by 1 and draw data 007. If you lose, raise the EPM meter by 2 and another active character must try.
All right.
Is EPM bad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Right on. This one seems important and hard, so I'm going to discard this Proxima Centauri pain reducer I have and drop that challenge rating down to 3.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, and having a plus 1, I'll roll this time. And I got a 7, so
there we go.
Unnecessary. All right, so we won.
Data 007.
007. Sonic Raygun. As the crew flails at the clinging kelp, something floats free. A skeletal hand wrapped around the grip of a sonic ray gun, which is perfect for cutting grass on silica. Keep this challenge booster. Finish the story card. It is a plus 1 to dex for you.
All right, I'll keep the ray gun.
Are you silica?
No.
You would?
Yes, I am.
Oh. Having defeated the kelp with a little help and barely a yelp, the crew reaches the place. That's the base for the evil disgrace out to destroy space. The ship cruises through the planet's rings, which glimmer like stained glass windows at dusk. The crew lets out a collective ooh.
Ooh.
And Dante's eye flashes as he takes a photo. Terra pulls her gaze from the view screen and taps the console. Nothing unusual on the scanner except proton puff crumbs left by Flipto. Messy. Quiet as a Forian funeral out there, she declares. As if on cue, a green streak of light rockets through the rings and slams into the ship, sending Chen to the floor in a heap. Careful, he shouts. Another flare, then an ear-ringing explosion rocks the bridge. Flipto calls out from the radar station, "Someone is coming from Kronar! Take evasive action!" Required challenge, dodge these attacks. If you win, you raise the signal tracker by 2 and draw data. If you lose, go to a different Kronar story.
Alright, well, Dante and Flipto, y'all are the only ones that are active.
Piloting.
Right now. I got a plus to piloting.
I got a plus to piloting.
All right.
Go for it.
All right. Still need to beat a 4?
Yes.
7.
There you go.
All right.
What do we get to do for a plus?
We do.
Raise the signal tracker by 2 and draw a data card.
That puts 4. Us in challenge rating 5 now, right?
Challenge rating 5. Achieve.
Our data card 4 is a med kit. Medkit falls out of the locker during the attack, slides across the cabin, and smacks a crew member right in the face. Discard this card at any time to make another crew member active.
Flipto's got no items anymore. Let's share the love.
He has the belt, doesn't he?
I use the belt.
Oh, you use belt.
Oh, I mean, I guess you did roll for it. You could keep it. I didn't mean to steal it.
No, I meant give me the belt. You can keep that. Keep the med kit.
He's putting the belt in the pile because he's the inventory manager.
I couldn't see the belt.
Dante dodges the next shot, but the barrage doesn't stop. The droid sends the ship bobbing and rolling, which turns Flipto's green skin a sickly blue. We can lose them down there in the ocean, Chen yells. Go to story card 8. I was already on 8 before. So we're going back into the ocean. The ship plunges into crystal clear sea. Patches of colorful seaweed become a dense jungle of kelp. We read this already, didn't we?
Yeah, we read this card already.
It told me to go there.
Is this a different reason why we're going underwater this time, right?
These are confusing times. Let me see the last three cards. Yeah, because that's just going to send us in a loop, right?
Right. Okay. And Renee just ruined the game.
No, Renee did not ruin the game.
Just made a wrong choice, and it's like, you got to go back and do it again. That's why you got the ray gun to keep cutting the kelp every time we get back down there.
Dante is like, nope, we got to do it again, just like we did last time. Get out.
Yeah, but then we just draw data card 12 again.
Isn't that weird?
And then what happens? What does data card 12 say?
Mine's data card 4.
Who has data card 12?
Data card 12 is right here.
In the pile, right?
Yep. We haven't done this one yet.
That's so weird.
So it's just a different...
It says data found. Once inside the empty base, Flipto recovers a log from the wiped computer, revealing that a ship launched mere minutes ago. Chen finds a rhinestone belt buckle, which could only have come from the evil Power Master. Turn over the dice and raise the signal tracker the amount shown. If any character has one or more of the following data, raise the tracker an additional amount shown. SI2, 002, or 079.
I have SI2.
Cool. Raise it 3 for her.
All right, so we just advanced one card further than we should have. So you shouldn't have went on to number 9. Which is all the fun with us getting shot in the kelp stuff. we should have just went to data card 12.
Ah.
So we'll just backtrack a little and pretend we didn't get blasted by a bunch of torpedoes.
So what's the next card?
We turn over the disc as we have successfully completed this chapter.
Oh, thank goodness.
We finished.
We finished. So all go ahead. Flop over that planet disc there. How many EPMs did we move up?
That's 6. And that's the signal booster.
Yeah, signal booster, not the EPM, sorry.
I think the EPM is just the evil Power Master meter.
That is probably right. That is probably right. And then we'll choose a new planet to go to.
We're at 17 signal boosts now.
We're getting close. What are our EPMs at?
2?
No. It should have been at least 4, because we did travel between a planet before.
You're right, 4.
Cool beans.
Adjacent to Kronar are the planets of... Silica and Aruth. Silesia. Yeah,
I've got a ray gun that is perfect for cutting through glass on silica.
Well, then let's go there.
I have a crystal cube from this planet.
We've got a lot of stuff from here. It's destiny, then.
If we're on a new thing, do we all become active again?
Yeah, why don't we all become active? Let's get dangerous.
Do some stretches. Touch your two toes.
All right. Traveling to the planet Silica. Did you raise our EPM meter by 2?
I did, yes. All right. This time I remembered.
All right. So what is our official scores at?
7 and 17.
All right. We're gonna find this one.
6 and 17.
Dante pilots the ship toward the surface of Silica, a planet composed almost entirely of glass. Before the Purple Days War, Silica was a planet covered in deserts. The Silicans were peaceful sand farmers, supplying the Lacunian system with refined silica for all manner of electronic devices. In its first recorded attack, apparently launched on a lark, a teenage evil Power Master aimed heat missiles at Silica and its moon. The resulting inferno transformed most of the planet into glass and turned its moons into prisms. "It's almost painfully beautiful," says Terra. As the ship flies over the crystal forests and mirror lakes, light from the nearby star refracts through the interior of the planet, creating a kaleidoscope of color. "It's gonna get bright, folks," says Chen. "Disco ball bright," says Flipto. "We're gonna need some serious shades," chirps Dante. "Free item, draw data number 82.
Rad sunglasses. Standard issue rapid force sunglasses, optimized to make the wearer appear super rad to anyone who sees them.
Nice.
This is a +1 to diplomacy.
Should somebody that has a +1 already in diplomacy take that to make it a +2, or someone that has a neutral or a negative?
Can we just pass the items around as needed? Or do we have to, it doesn't say anything about declaring it ahead of time.
You do have to declare it ahead of time before you roll, but you can pass items around freely. So I guess it doesn't quite matter. Good point. I'll put it here. The evil power master's signal originated near a town called Rainbow Alto, says Flipto. He provides Dante with the coordinates, and soon the ship is zooming across Silica Valley, the planet's largest remaining desert, toward a quaint village of glass at the edge of the dunes. "Be careful," calls Chen, as the droid lands on a sheet of glass outside town. The warning is a bit late. Several large cracks spider out from the landing gear as the ship settles into place. "Tread lightly, you delightful clodhoppers," says Dante, as the crew leaves the ship. Chen glares at the hovering droid. The crew enters Rainbow Alto, a typical tourist town of wide streets lined with shops. The shops, being made entirely of glass, don't need signs because tourists can see what's being sold inside at a quick glance. "Where do we start?" asks Terra. "Perhaps with those two suspicious-looking people," replies Flipto, pointing at a female glass Sicilian and a male glass... and a male glass silicon whispering to each other between two shops across the street. "Don't point," hisses Chen at Flipto. That's just impolite. But the two silicons already caught sight of the rude Martian's finger, and the suspects run off in different directions. If you follow the glass silicon, go to story card 8. If you follow the sand silicon, go to silica story card 5. Who doth we follow?
Follow the glass guy. You got a ray gun that'll just blast him in half.
Ooh, good point. We will head to story card number 8. The crew chases the glass silicon around a corner and into a shop filled with glass trinkets. Commander Chen bursts through the door and lunges at the suspect. She dodges behind a display of crystal ukuleles, causing Chen to miss her and knock two ukuleles into the air. The shopkeeper gasps. "Dante, help!" Terra yells, pointing at the "You break it, you buy it" sign, horrified. Silica glassware is known throughout the system as the finest and the most expensive in the galaxy. Dante extends two arms and latches onto the fallen glassware. "Lacuz didn't give us the budget to cover stuff like that," Terra says, fanning her face. Flipto charges blindly past Terra to trap the suspect. On the way, his gangly legs bump another display, sending a glass banana monster sculpture flying. Dante sends the third arm out to catch it. The glass woman runs toward the rear of the shop. "Stop her," yells Chen. "And don't break anything, gosh darn it," yells Terra. "Require a challenge. Dexterity." "Don't break anything, gosh darn it." "Win. Raise the signal tracker by 1. Lose. One crew member must discard a challenge booster to pay for the damage. If no one has a challenge booster, raise EMP meter by 2.
I could do it. I have a +1, and then I have one of those booster thingies if I lose. Like, you don't have to take damage, you use your booster thingy as a...
Oh, trade. Yeah. But hopefully that doesn't happen.
Just a backup plan.
All right, roll for it. Roll for it, Commander. You have a die right in front of you.
I don't like that one.
Okay. Such mischievous dies.
5 + 1 = 6.
All right. So draw data number 74, please. Dante, keeper of the data.
Data card 74, crystal magnifying glass. The suspect runs out the door, but at least nothing got broken. In gratitude, the shopkeeper lets the crew keep one of the items Dante caught. The droid chooses a crystal magnifying glass, which is used as a weapon on Silica. It is a challenge booster card, +2 to strength.
All right, that's sick, because we're shit on strength.
There you go.
Oh, I get it. Okay.
All right. If we follow the suspect, we will go to a different story card than we would if we talk to the shopkeeper.
Well, let's talk to the shopkeeper then. We're already here.
Yeah, you don't want to keep... Okay.
Or I...
Well, what's everybody think?
I was thinking about following the suspect.
Commander?
I was going to talk to the shopkeeper.
Oh, my God.
She did already give us the magnifying glass. Like, what else we got to talk to her about?
I need the giant coin of decision-making.
Dun, dun, dun.
Heads, we follow the suspect. Tails, we talk to the shopkeeper. That's a tails. We're going to stay and talk to the shopkeeper. The glass silicon woman flees the shop and disappears down an alley. Chen returns to the shopkeeper and asks him if he recognizes the suspect. Of course, friend, says the portly and balding glass shopkeeper. I know everyone in town. He drums glass fingers on the crystal cash register. And I'm more than happy to help paying customers, he says, his glass eyebrows raised. Tara gets his meaning and begins looking for something small to purchase. Do you have any drinking glasses? She asks. The shopkeeper's glass smile turns to a scowl, and his bluish face heats up to a bright red. Get out! He roars. Tara apologizes and asks why he is so upset. The shopkeeper points to a cup-shaped organ half-filled with liquid in his glass torso. This is my liver, he growls. You fleshies abduct our people to harvest these and then drink from them. It's barbaric. Ah, says Flipto, the sinister drinking glass cabal. I've read about them. They feed the galactic drinking glass economy. Tara asks if they can do anything to help, so he will provide the information. Required challenge, calm the shopkeeper and get the woman's address. Win, we raise the signal tracker by 2 and go to silica card number 12. All right.
What symbol is it? Is
diplomacy.
A handshake?
It is.
I have negative handshakes.
I have 2 cards that give me a +1.
Them rad sunglasses.
That's a 2.
Well, that won't do it. Well, what's our challenge meter at?
We are now at challenge level 6.
Oh, yeah, I did not do
it. Can I use this one that says discard this card during a challenge to reroll any dice?
Yeah, sure thing.
Caffeine beans.
Yep.
4 plus 3 is 7.
There we go.
So go ahead and raise the signal tracker by 1, and we'll continue on. Address in hand, the crew heads off to find their suspect. Outside, they found a constable named Tiffany watching a glass building. Officer Tiffany says the building is a suspected crystal crash house. We have Rapid Force authority to enter, says Chen. Care to join us? Tiffany nods and draws a glass baton as the group marches across the street and shatters the front door. You're all under arrest, yells Tiffany. A half dozen... dozing glass silicons rub sand from their eyes and advance on the Rapid Force crew and Tiffany. Chen pulls his laser blaster from his laser holster and fires a warning shot over their heads. The beam bounces off the glass walls, crisscrossing the room before flying out the open doorway. Lasers are inadvisable, roars Dante, as the crystal crashers rush forward. Chen flings his gun at the glass silicon, who shatters into a million little pieces. Huh, says Chen, surprised. This might be easier than I thought. We have a strength challenge that's a required challenge to defeat the crystal crashers. Who's got some strength?
I would, but I'm flipped over.
Oh, cool.
I'm neutral to strength, but we're at challenge level 6. I can give it a try.
This has 2 items? If you want it.
Oh, yeah. I can take that.
Yeah, pass that over. Let's use Dante as our last resort because he's got a -1.
Yes.
Not ideal.
Not at all.
Okay.
So what is that card?
So we're using the crystal magnifying glass, which gives me +2 to my strength roll. I got a 3 plus 2 is 5.
All right, cool. That doesn't do it. All right.
Tried.
Draw data number 84.
The fight escalates into a glass-bashing, crystal-tossing battle. In the end, the Rapid Force crew sustains many injuries. With no more leads, the dejected crew returns to the Fizzlet, so Dante can apply gauze and distribute lollipops. The end. Raise the EPM meter by 3. Discard the disc. Choose a new planet to explore.
Oh, goddamn it.
That was like 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, that one was short. We did not do well.
And we had the blaster. It just did not
help. It just didn't blast.
Raise the EPM meter by how many?
3.
1, 2, 3.
And it's going to be another two when we go somewhere.
Damn, we didn't play that one very well.
Is there a planet that we are not going to get to?
That we're not going to get to, like, be able
that
to get
to? That we're not going to be able to get to do anything with.
So the only planets we can go to right now are Lakkos and Earth. And hopefully that will be the last planet we need to go to. So that's Follup, Proxima Centauri, Hernog, and Aruth.
I want to use the silicon crystal cube. Discard this card at any time to reveal one face-down signal booster disc. I want to do that to a planet we're not going to go to.
So will that give us the signal boost from it, or what does that do?
I think it just tells us how many points are it's worth.
Then never mind.
And we need 6 points to find the evil power master, right?
Yes.
Do we want to use that cube to figure out which one of those?
Figure out which one's got the most points behind it.
Yeah.
Of the two that we can reach.
I thought it was going to be one of the ones that we weren't going to go to.
That's not what it does. I thought it would. Mm. I thought when we reveal it, it would give us the disc. It doesn't. But we can use this to see which one has the higher, or see which one has.
Well, Earth is a reddish colored one, and Lakkos is a bluish colored one. In my mind, the red numbers would be higher.
The red numbers are higher. They're the highest.
There's also 3 balls in the center of those ones.
Hmm.
And only 1 in the blue ones.
So should we go to the red disc?
To Earth?
Planet? Is that Earth?
Yeah.
Let's go to Earth.
Let's go to Earth.
Wow. Chen's never been there.
I've never been. This is so... What a treat.
I feel like I shouldn't have let the coin decide. Everybody flip over to active again, too. Heading to Earth.
Do, 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 do.
Earth Commander? Flipto asks. Are you certain?
Absolutely, Chen says. He opens the equipment locker and pulls out 3 vacuum-sealed enviro suits. The Martian frowns. But no one has set foot on Earth for years. Which makes it the perfect place for the evil Power Master to hide, says Chen. Set a course, Dante. Dante's mechanical arms punch in the coordinates. The fizzlet rumbles. The stars outside spin and twist in a spiraling swirl, a sight that always makes Flipto think of frozen yogurt. But the Martian isn't licking his lips this time. Terra, Flipto says, your people abandoned this world for a reason. All records of that were lost during the Purple Days War, Terra retorts, stepping into her enviro suit. Earth may have been the evil Power Master's hideaway since those violent, violet days. Flipto shakes his head, but dons his own enviro suit anyway. Within minutes, the ship emerges into real space. A green and blue globe spins below them. Dante executes a perfect landing in a forest clearing. Scanners indicate copious life signs and residual radiation. The little robot says, be prepared for anything. The 4 crew members exit the Flitzit into a lush green forest with trees higher than the skyscrapers on Lakkos. For a moment, everyone simply listens. No droning traffic, no static from neon billboards, no rumble of passing starships. Chen looks puzzled. I expected more, I don't know, ruins. Pollution. Flipto frowns and checks the chrono on his wrist. It appears nature has reclaimed everything. Just then, the bushes before them shake, and a man steps out. He is slouched over, with long hair and a heavy brow. He holds a crude club in his hand and wears a leopard skin tunic. The man takes one look at the crew and runs screaming back into the woods. After a moment of stunned silence, Terra says, was that a caveman? Flipto frowns and checks his chrono again. Perhaps there was a malfunction with our hyperdrive, he says, and we somehow time-shifted into Earth's distant past. Howdy, comes a voice from behind them. Everyone turns and sees that another man has emerged from the other side of the clearing. This one rides a horse and wears a plaid shirt. He tips his 10-gallon hat to the crew and smiles. Y'all looking for something? No one knows what to say. Flipto frowns and checks his chrono again. The cowboy shrugs and spurs his horse, riding back into the trees. This stinks of evil mastermind, and Terra says. Chen instinctively removes his helmet and confirms that he can breathe in Earth's atmosphere. If you follow the caveman, go to Earth's story card 2.
if you follow the cowboy, go to Earth Story Card 5.
I mean, I'm for the cowboy. He seemed more normal.
Yeah, he seemed like he at least greeted us and didn't run away terrified.
He knows English.
It's true. Probably if we're trying to get information.
Yeah.
So, cowboy is 5, right?
What about Commander and Dante? What do you guys want to do?
Cowboy's the smarter choice.
Probably. Yeah.
Of course I want to chase the caveman.
I mean, honestly, the caveman's probably the right choice. We still haven't made one of those all day, so.
Cowboy it is.
Dante leads the crew south along the cowboy's most likely course. The trees start to thin out after 20 minutes, and the sun beats down as shade recedes. Chen begins to regret wearing his heavy, Rapid Force uniform. Reminds me of a Martian winter, Flipto says. The path leads you to a majestic cliff, when suddenly three riders on black horses stampede into the path, cutting you off. The lead rider pulls out a wicked six-shooter. Stop right there, the lead rider shouts through a bandana. Bandits, Terra yells. Smart lady, the bandit says. Empty out your pockets unless you're hankering for a sudden case of lead poisoning. Flipto gives Chen a look. They're not about to lose everything they've found to some ill-mannered miscreants. Required challenge. Outshoot the bandits.
Great.
It's a dexterity.
Okay.
A swirly
plus
one.
Plus one.
I got dex for days. Hand me that dice. I got a plus two. 5 plus 2 is 7.
All right, that's a win. Draw data 134.
Dinosaur egg. You were quick on the draw, and the bandits drop dead. Out of one of the lead bandits' coats rolls a green and orange dinosaur egg, the size, shape, and color of a really gross grapefruit. Keep this card. Finish story card 5.
With the bandits dead, the forest returns to silence. That was some dern fine shooting, comes a voice from behind. It's the cowboy. Where are you folks from? Out of town, Chen says. Way out, Dante adds. Seems about right, the cowboy says, with a nod. What can I help you all with? Terra squints. Was this man watching while the bandits attacked the crew? If you ask the cowboy about the evil power master, go to story card 11. If you don't trust the cowboy and want to scale the cliff, go to story card 10. I don't really feel like climbing the cliff.
Yeah, I don't really want to climb the cliff either.
I would like to ask questions.
All right, so if we're going to ask, we're going to go to card 11.
I don't care what we do. I am now raising a dinosaur.
That is your burden. The cowboy nods slowly as Chen explains Rapid Force's quest and their desire to stop the evil power master's evil plans. He doesn't seem to grasp every word of it, but like a true cowboy, he understands that evil men need to be brought to justice. Bad eggs tend to come in batches, the cowboy says, and I know a real bad egg around these parts. Follow me. The cowboy leads the crew through the forest into a huge open plain filled with grazing brachiosauruses. The lumbering beasts scoop up leaves in their massive jaws, unaware of the presence of intruders. The cowboy points to a column of smoke beyond the herd. Over yonder is the most wicked fella I know, he says. If anyone on Earth has seen this evil power galoot, it's him. He gestures at the gigantic dinosaurs and their huge stomping feet. Best of luck getting past those hombres.
Great.
Required challenge. Dexterity. Navigate through the herd of brachiosaurs.
I'm plus one.
Sounds like it's you.
Let's do it, Commander. We need a 6 still.
Oh, yes.
Oh, shit.
There we go.
7.
Plus 1 is 7.
Win, draw data card 144.
We're rolling good tonight, by the way, for the most part, when it matters. Mm-hmm.
Short range hover module. I just remembered, Dante announced, smacking his forehead. I recently installed this. A panel on his undercarriage slides open to reveal a hover module. The crew steps on and floats past the herd. Keep this challenge booster. Finish Earth story card 11.
All right.
It's a plus 2 to piloting.
With the herbivorous beasts outsmarted, you make your way towards the smoke. Go to Earth story card 7. The crew works their way through the jungle and finds the source of the smoke. The charred remains of a covered wagon. A large pack of velociraptors with laser guns grafted onto their foreheads. Laser raptors pokes through the wreckage.
They know something, Chen says. Terra looks suspicious. This bunch isn't just going to share info with us. You got that right, the laser raptor in charge says. What can you trade us for it? They can talk, says Flipto. We've been looking all over for a missing embryonic organism in a calcium-fortified case, the laser-enhanced reptile says. If an active or inactive character has data 134, skip challenge below and draw data 146.
Ooh.
Come on, give up the egg, man.
All right. I have data 134, the egg.
All right.
The dinosaur egg.
Skip challenge and draw data 146.
146.
I don't want to fight laser raptors.
No.
But you could ride dinosaur.
Maybe. Or it would kill me. We would probably die.
Probably. I've read my fair share of paleontological texts. Fuck. says Terra. They're talking about the egg we found on the bandits earlier. She presents the egg to the raptors. They accept it gratefully and place it lovingly on the ground, surrounding their precious one with dirt and leaves. Raise the signal tracker by 2. Finish story card 7.
The raptors chirp and bob their heads, eager to take the crew to their master. The crew follows the raptors deeper into the woods. Go to Earth story card 12.
I have a feeling we played this one perfectly.
It's going pretty good, I think. We're doing good on Earth.
Whew, home field advantage, baby.
The prehistoric escorts lead the crew through the forest and into the mountains beyond. The going is rough, and as the elevation increases, the organic members of the crew feel the effects of the thinning air. In the late afternoon, everyone starts up a steep, rocky trail. Snow begins to fall. After an hour or so, a frost-covered samurai steps in front of the crew, preventing them from going forward. He rests his hand on the hilt of his sword and shouts in Japanese. He says we can't enter, Dante translates, unless we best him in combat. No problem, Chen says, cracking his knuckles. The samurai bows, then produces a set of playing cards and folds out a small table. Poor translation, my bad. Dante says, we need to best him in a game of Go Fish. He is very bored up here.
Phew, panicked there for a second. I'm going to fight a samurai.
Required challenge. Beat the samurai at Go Fish.
My God, we have to win.
Oh, gosh. It's the little eye in the triangle symbol. Mm. I have a plus in, but check the samurai out.
I don't have any eyes, but I have an eye plus 2 if you end up doing it.
Oh, yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah, you should.
What's
definitely
in
take
his
that.
Nose?
That's perception, by the way.
No,
it's frost because it's cold.
It's not sickle.
Why are we passing this around? You just want
to... Connor wanted to show us
the... Just to observe the art.
I'm still active, right? I didn't roll already in the story?
No, I think only Chen and I did.
All right, so I'm going to roll my perception.
You just need a 3, right?
Oh, well, that's what I rolled, a 3. Yep, but luckily I got this plus 2 black marble and a plus 1. So that's 6.
Awesome.
Win, raise signal tracker by 2, and continue.
All right.
We're only 2 away now. The samurai grunts. His go fish skills are very rusty. He stands aside and permits everyone to pass. Go to Earth story card 8. Chen, Terra, Flipto, and Dante find themselves at a domed structure nestled deep in the mountains. It is covered in satellite dishes, radio antennas, and telescopes. The front door is unguarded. Inside, the structure is much bigger than it seemed from the outside. It is entirely hollow, and every surface is covered with screens. An old man sits in a padded velvet chair in the middle of the cavernous lair, watching Zulu warriors play tennis with Viking maidens on one screen and giggling Roman centurions wrestle gorillas on another. The old man pets something in his lap. The crew approaches, and Chen speaks, his voice echoing, "You must pick up a lot of strange things on these screens." "All boring stuff," the old man says. "I've seen it a thousand times." "Bah!" "Did you make all this?" Terra asks. Getting closer, she sees that the man is petting a cat-like banana. A closer look shows it's an actual banana with 4 legs, a tail, and a mouth full of fangs. "Most, not all," the old man points at a screen. "I didn't do that one." The screen is fuzzy and unclear. Required challenge. Unscramble the image. It's a perception.
Dante, you're the last active member left.
All right, let me see.
You need to roll a straight six.
I know, I don't have... I'm neutral in this one.
So. Can I give him the black marble or no? Because we already used that this time.
I mean, it doesn't say that you can't. It says you may freely exchange cards.
We didn't break it, right?
Yeah, no, it's still good.
All right. Well, here's... That's a three. And it breaks this.
It breaks because it's a one.
All right. So lose, raise EPM meter by two. Another active character must try. So I'll give it a go. Oh. Yep, that's a three.
Okay.
So we're going to raise that by two. One, two. And somebody else can give it
this a try. It's a perception?
Yeah.
The eyeball.
Triangle with the eye.
Dante, you give it a shot for me first.
That was a four.
All right, Commander, give it a shot.
I don't have the eyeball at all.
Yeah, me either, man. Or I've got a negative, so.
But I have just nothing.
Just means we're neutral, yeah. Oh. So roll a six.
Four.
Doesn't matter if I roll a six.
When does this end? Is this just how everything implodes?
This is how we die.
Does it say?
It just says raise EPM by two and another active character must try.
All right, how many times have we raised it? What's it at now? I'm getting nervous. I can't see the
board. It's at 17 now. 17. We've all gone around, I think, at least once now.
Yeah. I think it's your turn again then.
No items here that are going to help in any way?
Broke the only one.
All right. Here we go. It's a five plus one.
Thank God.
That's a six. So we pass. Draw data, 147.
All right, find data. Flipto fiddles with the knobs to restore the image on the screen. It's looped video footage of the evil Power Master on Earth. The data provides excellent material to add to Flipto's algorithm. Turn over the disc and raise the signal tracker. The amount shown if any character has one or more of the following data. Raise the tracker an additional amount. 136.
Nope.
SI9.
Nope.
Data 89.
Nope.
All right. Choose a new planet to explore.
Wait, hit 25 now.
We hit 25? That was getting close. So we're 25 to 17?
Yep.
Can we find him?
The Rapid Force crew has found the location of the evil Power Master. Immediately go to story card 13 of the current planet.
Suddenly, Dante starts spinning in a fantastical manner and sounds a series of victorious beeps. Beep, beep, beep. The crew has never heard before. What's happening, asks Chen. Those are the completion beeps, Flipto says. That last signal boost was enough for the algorithm to pinpoint the evil Power Master's location. You mean we can finally get him, Chen asks. That's right, says Flipto, bending down to look at a display on Dante's head. He's hiding out. Right here on Earth. Let's go stop that cockroach, says Terra, with a whoop. Dante takes over the physics controls and sets a course for the signal coordinates. The most evil beeping comes from Flipto's scanners. The evil Power Master is here on Earth. The signal leads the crew to an island far off the coast. A pirate ship circles the island, threatening any boats that come close. But the Fizzlet flies too high to shoot with cannons, and the pirates can only rattle their sabers in frustration. The signal scanner leads them into the mouth of a volcano, and Dante steers in without hesitation. A convenient landing platform awaits them deep inside. Stepping off the ship and into the hot bowels of the volcano, the crew finds an iron door to a bunker, suspiciously unlocked. To fight the evil Power Master, get the deck labeled Final Showdown. Perchance to dance with evil, and go to story card 1. Make all characters active.
Shit! Alright, it's the final showdown. Perchance to dance with evil. Standing in the entry to the evil Power Master's lair, the crew pauses to drink it all in. The adventures, the missteps, the explosions, the funny feeling they might have died and come back to life, several times maybe. The dramatically scored mental montage ends abruptly, with a glaring spotlight and a slow clap, but not the good kind. The kind of slow clap that reeks of sarcasm. Shielding their eyes, they look up to see their nemesis, the evil Power Master. Give up, you fiend! You're going down, shouts Chen. The evil Power Master laughs. Fat chance, he says. A press of a button, and lasers speckle the crew like chicken pox. I could end this now, but instead... He presses another button, and the crew flinches. Instead of turning into little mounds of ash, they watch a pile of overstuffed pillows land in front of them. Choose your weapons! The crew is stunned. Tara speaks up. You want to have a pillow fight? A pillow fight to the death? Howls the evil power master. Required challenge. Strength or dexterity. Challenge level is 6. Pillow Womp, the evil power master.
I know a trick if anyone has some doorknobs.
All right. Chen, you've got a +1 to strength, right?
What?
She has a +1 to both strength and dexterity.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this magnifying glass that is +2 to strength. That didn't break when I borrowed it from you before.
Well, then give me back my ray gun. So no. When I roll, I'll have a +2.
Okay.
All right, Chen, you're going first. Womp this bitch.
1 and 3 is 4.
Oh, man, and your 1 destroys the magnifying glass. Everything you give to people, man, they just shatter. Okay, lose. An active character must discard a challenge booster or assist card. I'll discard the diplomacy one. I don't think that's going to matter much.
No, I'll discard the hover module because...
Yes.
Okay.
When am I going to pilot?
I don't know, because we're probably going to hopefully not die here. I'll be pretty disappointed.
Okay, so who's going to take a...
Oh, we don't keep going. An active character must discard a challenge booster or assist card, then go to story card 6. This isn't the first time the crews had to save the day using cozy bedding, and they pummel the evil power master with pillows. However, something strange happens. Each hit causes him to increase in size. Soon, he towers over them, 47 feet tall. That's a big problem, deadpans Flipto. Chen points at the evil power master's now massive feet, and Flipto nods. The pair jump forward, landing on his big toes, but instead of a pained yelp, they hear two pops, and look up to find three evil power master heads cackling as a trio. The middle head grimaces. Fools! You have sealed your fate! Wait, there's something in your teeth, says the left head, and all three necks crane as the heads check one another for spinach in their teeth and unsightly nose hairs. Flipto takes advantage of the distraction. Dante, activate sound mode. An eyebrow ring coils out from a port in the droid's head and locks in place. He produces a turntable, a strobe light, and a pair of magnetic headphones to complete the look. He shoots into the air, orbiting the three-headed giant. Content that they look good enough to defeat their foes, the evil power master trio inhales deeply, causing wind to whip around the room. A deep, droning hum emerges from their throats, underscored by an ominous bass that chills the crew to their bones or circuits. Required challenge. You gotta be kidding me. Perception or piloting? Lay down some killer beats. This challenge level is a 7. Anybody have any pluses to anything?
I've got a plus to perception and piloting.
All right, let's see it. Because I feel like if we lose, something real bad's going to happen. A 4 plus?
5, 6.
6 isn't a 7. All right. The ominous hum suddenly turns into a sweet melody as the three evil voices coalesce in a pitch-perfect resonance. Lunar Rose, I'm home again. They croon, and a pattern begins to play across their eyes, lines of music repeating, and then forming a beam that encases Dante. The droid's head pops open, and he produces a crane and a straw hat, tipping it at the crew. Lunar Rose, oh, won't you be mine, he sings in a rich baritone. Not a barbershop quartet, Dante's joined the dark side, exclaims Chen, and he's also helping the evil power master. I like it, says Tara, as the four voices join in a silky harmony. Their voices are the instruments, and it reminds me that things are more expensive nowadays. Seems like a weird thing to say. They reach the crescendo and then bring it home with a final tender note. Oh, Lunar Rose. The quartet bows to no applause, for where Chen, Tara, and Flipto had stood are now three shining red and white barber poles. Their barbershop music turned them into glass. Everyone's a critic, Dante says, elbowing the evil power master. They share a laugh, and Dante picks the evil Power Master up by the collar, flying off with him to bring the Lacunian system into submission. You lose. The evil Power Master takes control of the Lacunian system.
It became glass.
After all that, 2 hours and barber we fucking poles. Lost. We became barber poles. God damn it. I feel bad now. This is the second game in a row we lost.
Games yeah, we are did hard. Right at the end.
Yeah, we're not doing so good. We got a 33% win rate so far on season 3 of Tales from the Crypt. Not fantastic.
No.
It was a fun story, though.
It was. Thank you all for joining me today. What'd you guys think?
I had a great time.
I liked it. I probably won't remember.
So we could play again. And the good thing is there is lots of replayability in this. There's like how many planets we didn't even get to?
5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 5.
5? Yeah. And there's obviously lots of choices. So maybe someday we'll give it a second shot. But it won't be this season. Or tonight.
And that time we will win.
Hopefully we'll win. And next time we return to an RPG.
We're excited to get back to that.
Yeah, me too. I'm super excited to be back with you guys in 2 weeks. And until then, we will...
See you next Tuesday.
Oh, Renee missed it. She just stared
I don't
there.
Do that.
Oh, she don't do that.
That's your thing.
But you're on the podcast. You have to do it. And now we're going to do it again. And until next time, we'll...
See you next Tuesday.
It sounds so much better when that many people do it. That's it for today's episode. We hope you've enjoyed listening as much as we've enjoyed playing. If you have, go run and tell all your friends so that we can turn as many people into Crit Cats as possible. Tales from the Crit is a Wolfbeard Games audio podcast, and if you like us, please subscribe and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts, and head on over to our Instagram page and our YouTube channel. Both of those are at Tales from the Crit Podcast. All right, bye-bye!
DJ. My weaknesses are poor depth perception.
Hold on.
Bug bark. I was like, gee. Did you want him to finish or not? Sure enough, when he... Inside droid base 1, the crew finds an old friend from the Purple Haze War. Sorry. Had to do it.
What do we need to get a 4? Perfect. 0.
We're good. I'm glad you got these ones. Sounds so unfun to read.
The ship plunges into the crystal... No, I already said this. I got really thrown off by all the rhyming. Sorry.
But we're doing good. This is way better. We tried to play this. Derek, Renee, Rebecca, and I tried to play this a couple months ago, I think. We made it not nearly this far. I think we were at like 21 EPMs and like 6 signal boosts. We fucked up literally everything we could.
It was rough.
Yeah, and then Rebecca rage quit.
That's why I won't play tonight.
That is why she's on the couch. Dante pilots the ship toward the surface of Silica, a planet composed almost entirely of glass. Man, I was doing so good, too.
I know.
I've read my fair share of Wow.
An eyebrow ring coils out from the port of... Wow.
What am I saying? See you next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.